This morning, we have a guest speaker with us, and he's, we said this in the first service, he is new, but after today, he will no longer be new. In July, we hired Pastor Rodney to be our new youth pastor, and his breaking in period ends once he's preached. So here we go. It's my pleasure to introduce Pastor Rodney, who will be speaking from the Word of God to us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's a privilege for me to be able to be here this morning and to share the Word with you. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. Before I get started, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be here this morning and to share your word, Father. I pray that my words will be edifying and honoring to you, God, and that you will use my words to touch the hearts of your people gathered here today. Amen. Many years ago, a missionary in Africa lived in a centrally located mission building. This was so that he could have easy access to the outlying villages, and so that the villagers could get to him easily as well. It was a humble mission, nothing extravagant. There was a small church, a school building, the missionary's home, and a small generator to power the three buildings. One evening, some guests from one of the outlying villages came to the missionary's house, and they were fascinated by the light bulb hanging from the missionary's ceiling. He would flip the switch and turn the light on and flip it again and turn the light off. And they watched with wide-eyed fascination. One of the men asked the missionary if he could have one of the light bulbs. And the missionary, thinking that the man wanted it as some sort of trinket, gave him one. Now, a few weeks later, on his next visit to these outlying villages, the missionary stopped at the house of the man to whom he had given the light bulb. And he was shocked to see the light bulb hanging from the man's ceiling by an ordinary piece of string. Well, the missionary explained to the man that he needed to have a wire and electricity to bring a current to power the bulb. Now, we can share a slight chuckle at this out-of-date story or a smile of understanding at the innocence of the African native, but we aren't any better today. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to be starting with verse 1. John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. In our passage for today, Jesus tells a story about the importance of our connection to the true source of life, to the true source of power. John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Jesus uses this analogy of the vine and the branches of the vineyard. Just as the electricity provides the power needed to run the light bulb, so the vine produces the life necessary for the branches to bear fruit. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine grower. And you and I, as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, are the branches. As branches, we are spiritually alive, yet we can only grow if we are connected to the vine, if we are connected to that source of life, to that source of power. As long as we are connected to Jesus and that source of life, the Holy Spirit can come into us and keep us spiritually alive. Our text for today has three primary messages. They are pruning, fruit bearing, and abiding. And my first point this morning is that we are in need of pruning. You know, it's interesting to me that the text discusses pruning first. Read verse 2 with me again. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So, what should our attitude be about pruning? Why are we pruned? God says that the branches that bear fruit are pruned for what purpose? So that they can bear more fruit. Branches are pruned so that they can bear more fruit. Vines, when left alone, will sprawl and spread and grow in every direction and form huge canopies of shoots and leaves and branches. But if left on its own, if left uncontrolled, if unmaintained, if unpruned, that vine will not produce much fruit. Now, at a first glance, pruning may seem counterproductive, because to most people, what you're pruning may look like a very healthy vine. But just because a vine looks healthy does not necessarily mean that it is producing fruit. All show, no tell. Branches are pruned so that they can bear more fruit. Now, it seems to me that Jesus was concerned that his disciples might be facing a similar problem. Jesus wasn't interested in showy disciples any more than he's interested in showy Christians today. What Jesus is interested in is disciples who bear fruit. My first experience with pruning came when I was about 10 years old. We had a small orchard on our farm growing up with a dozen or so assorted fruit trees. And my parents decided that it would be a good opportunity for me to learn how to prune them. So that was my task for that spring, or winter rather. My dad explained to me the importance of removing the suckers from the trees. Now, a sucker is a small branch that usually grows at the fork between the main trunk of the tree and the fruit-bearing branch. If left there, the sucker will grow, but it will drain the life-giving resources from the fruit-producing branch. So to have a healthy tree full of flowers and a good crop of fruit, we have to remove the suckers. Now, before I move on, I want to make one thing very clear, and that's that pruning is not a punishment. Pruning is done so that the plant or tree or bush can be even more productive, so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning is not a punishment. It may sound destructive, but it's actually the opposite. My second association with pruning came when I was a kid on a 4-H field trip. We went to this place in Vancouver, BC, called Minter Gardens. It was this beautiful garden. They had thousands of beautiful plants and trees and bushes and flowers. One thing I remember clearly, though, was right toward the beginning of the garden, they had a number of hedge-type plants that were pruned in the shapes of different animals. They had some that looked like lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my! But what I took away from this was that by trimming these bushes regularly, they were able to shape them into just about anything they wanted to. I think God prunes us in a similar way, to shape us into the image of Jesus. God prunes us to make us more like Christ. Now, sometimes this pruning involves removing sin or distractions from our lives. Sometimes God's pruning is painful. And we may wonder if God knows what he's doing. We might look around and think we are the only branch being pruned, and there's branches all around us that need to be pruned much more than we do. But God, the vine grower, knows what he's doing. God prunes us to make us more like Christ. Spiritual pruning may take many different forms. It may be sickness or hardships or loss of material possessions. It may be persecution, or it may be slander from non-Christians. For some, it is the loss of a loved one, or grief in a relationship. Or it may be a combination of these difficulties. But whatever the method, the effect is to narrow our focus and increase the quantity of the fruit we bear. Whatever method of pruning God uses, we can be sure that he loves us and that he cares for us and that he wants us to bear fruit. He wants to free us from the suckers that drain our life and our energy. He continues this care throughout our entire lives to keep us spiritually healthy and productive. Now, if the branches could speak, I am sure that they would confess that this pruning process hurts, that this pruning process is painful, but they would also rejoice in that they were able to bear more fruit. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Count it all to joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for it is the testing of your faith that produces endurance." You will never see a branch pruning another branch. You'll never see a branch pruning another branch. The responsibility of pruning, trimming, and maintaining the branches is not that of other branches. That responsibility is God's and God's alone. Our Heavenly Father is seldom nearer than when he is pruning us. Our Heavenly Father is seldom nearer than when he is pruning us. Sometimes he cuts away the dead wood that might be causing trouble, but often he cuts away the living tissue that is stealing our spiritual life and our energy. Pruning is not simply a spiritual surgery. It's not simply removing what is dead. It sometimes means cutting away the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best. Sometimes means cutting away the good and the better so that we can enjoy the best. First, we see that we are in need of pruning, but the whole reason that we are pruned is so that we can bear more fruit, which brings us to our second point this morning, and that is that we are pruned so that we can bear more fruit. Now, when we read through the Gospels and see the word fruit, what is meant by that? What is the meaning of fruit in our Gospel reading? Well, it seems to me that it's talking about the spiritual life that flows through the vine that is producing a spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Branches should bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, not all branches are as fruitful as others. Some branches may produce several bushels of fruit. Other branches may produce a bushel. And still others may produce only a couple of individual fruits. But I don't want us to confuse quality with quantity. As believers, we are joined with the vine. It is the blood, the life of the vine, flowing within us that produces the fruit. Jesus Christ, the vine, will not produce fruit that is of a low or inferior quality. Jesus will only produce fruit that is of the highest quality. However, each of us, as branches, can restrict the quantity of the fruit that we produce. Look again at what Jesus said in verses 2 through 4. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me." Do not restrict the quantity of the fruit that you bear. Now, what is it that restricts the quantity, or what is it that restricts the amount of fruit that we bear? In a word, it's our selfishness. We love Jesus. His Spirit is within us, and the fruit is evident in our lives. But from time to time, and for some people more often than others, we stop relying on him as our source of life. We start relying on ourselves and our own strength and our own abilities. Jesus said that no branch can bear fruit by itself. In those times when we stop depending fully on Christ, when we stop relying Him and start relying on our own strength and abilities, it is then that the branch is unable to continue to produce fruit. Oftentimes, we might fall into sin once again simply because we are not relying on Christ as the source of life to help us. This is when the time comes for the Father to step in and prune us. He comes in and causes us to stop relying on ourselves so that we might rely fully on Christ and bear fruit. First, we see that we are in need of pruning. We need to be pruned so that we can bear more fruit. But to bear any fruit at all, and for the need of pruning to exist, we must be abiding in Christ. Which brings us to our third point this morning. To bear fruit, we must abide in Christ. In the verses that follow our passage today, John talks about abiding in love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. God's word is clear. We are called to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. The more fruit we bear, the more the Father has to prune us so that the quantity of the fruit we are bearing increases even more. Now, what does it mean to abide in Christ? The word abide basically means to remain inseparably linked to Christ in all areas of life, to fully rely on Him for grace and for the power to obey. But the word abide also means to live or to dwell. We all have a place where we live, a place that we call home. And what do we do in our homes? We do dishes, we do laundry, we eat meals together, we spend time with our families, we relax, we unwind, we read books, we watch TV, sometimes we argue or fight. We do everything in our homes. We do everything where we abide. By telling us to abide in Him, Jesus is telling us that we need to do everything in Him. We need to do everything in Him. So how do we accomplish this? How do we abide in Christ? In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So to abide in Christ, we need to keep His commandments. And what is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We display our love through God, through our trust, our prayer, and our devotion to Him. We abide in Christ through relationship. We abide in Christ through relationship. We pursue Christ in love. We pray in love. We obey in love. Now, in this metaphor of the vine that Jesus uses, did you notice the passive response on our part? The passive response of the branch in the production of fruit. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The command is not to produce fruit. The command is to abide. When we are abiding in Christ, the fruit comes, and the fruit comes naturally. He produces the fruit in us. If we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. We do not have to work to produce fruit. We only need to abide. We do not have to work at it. We do not have to agonize over it. We do not have to struggle or stress to produce fruit. The vine brings the fruit about naturally if and only if we abide in the vine. When we abide in Christ, our spiritual eyes are opened to see where He is working. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Will we ever fully understand this truth? We cannot conform to his image. We cannot produce his likeness. We cannot become like Christ unless we abide in him. We cannot become like Christ unless we abide in him. The daily inflow of the life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit is the only power that can produce spiritual fruit. May the loving hands of our Heavenly Father prune us that we might bear much fruit. Let each and every one of us abide in the vine, and let the power of the Holy Spirit transform us and make us more like Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this passage, for this text that you've given us from the Gospel of John. Lord, I thank you for producing fruit in us and for allowing us to abide in you. Father, it is my prayer this morning that each and every person gathered here will abide in you, God, and bear much fruit to honor, glorify you, and further your kingdom. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen.